Welcome to the Rock Harbor Podcast. We're so glad you've decided to tune in today. We'd love to stay connected with you, and one of the best ways to do that is through our social media platforms, at Rock Harbor TV. Also, we'd encourage you to download the Rock Harbor app. It's one of the best ways to follow along with today's teaching and the best way to stay connected with everything going on here at Rock Harbor. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, let's celebrate what took place at Renew last weekend. How awesome it is to see that many students engaging with God, growing. This is kind of an effort we make to disciple, to go deeper. Be it adults or staff that come in and teach. It's a growth weekend, and we had 489 students part of last weekend. Yeah. I think it was 16 baptized on Saturday night. Then we had baptisms here in services on Sunday. And then additionally, at Renew Weekend, there were 73 adults that kept the building together. I mean, that engaged and discipled students this last weekend. So can we give it up for all those adult volunteers that serve? We got people from the porch that serve. We got parents. We've got all different ages people pouring in because we believe that the next generation is the church of today, okay? Not of the future, of today. And so, man, what an incredible weekend. Also, I want to say hi to a group of people that they're not here in person, but it once might have been you. How many of you used to watch Rock Harbor online or listen to it before you came to Rock Harbor in person? How many of you? Quite a few, probably about 20% you engaged in that way. You live somewhere else. How many of you, you've lived here ever since you were born in this state? Cool. So I didn't want to make a big deal out of it because you pat yourself on the back so hard. I didn't want to just add to that. But I've been here 25 years, so I'm almost native, okay? But here's what I want to mention is there's a lot of different places that are watching online and that engage in different ways. Like, you know, we have like a lot of the suburbs of Seattle, a lot of suburbs of like Orange County and Portland. There's like three different places like Tigard and Beaverton and Lake Oswego of people that watch. And so there's a pocket of people in Idaho Falls and Pocatello that watch every week that get together and even gather to watch. And so we're just really grateful for the team. Even Moscow, Russia. Moscow, Idaho. Moscow, Idaho even tunes in every once in a while. And so it's amazing. A lot of kids from GCU down in Phoenix and even people that are from down in that area. And so we're thankful, production team, the video, all that goes on for the gospel to be shared. Conversations that we get to have with people in the chat, or they DM us, or they say, hey, we're looking to move, or we can't wait to visit this summer. The different things that go on. We've had people come and get baptized in the river, part of our baptisms, because Rock Harbor's part of their spiritual journey. So we just want to say thank you for that. And on three, can we say howdy? Okay, on two, three.
Howdy.
As you can tell, we meant that. And so if you're online, we are very glad that you're part of what we're doing here, and we're just thankful, and however we can help, let us know that. We're going to continue to study today in 1 Peter chapter 3, okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, there's a funny word that it starts out with, and it says, finally. It's a pastor. He don't mean it. He says, finally, like last point, Peter is lying. But today, we're going to study about being blessed. We're going to study about living blessed. Now, before you think this is like Keith going to be preaching some prosperity gospel up in here, we're going to give so we can get. We give because Christ gave, right? God gave the greatest gift. We love because he loved first. But there's actually a recipe that we're going to study today about how to live a blessed life, how to live from blessing and live above this world that we're in. Now, that word bless is used in a lot of different slogans and sayings. Maybe you've said that before, like, God bless this mess, you know? I say that about every message I write, God bless this mess, you know? I tried. Maybe you've heard the term where it's been said to you, bless your heart. That is not a compliment, okay? That's not I'm praying for you. That is you're kind of dumb, okay? Let's just be clear, you're kind of dumb. I didn't say you are dumb, because that is, like, in today's culture, that's hurtful, and we don't want to do that, and so bless your heart, okay? Maybe you said, you know, I'm too blessed to be stressed, If you say it like that, stop it. It's weird. Secondly, you might want to find a different church because we're a bunch of stressed people and real stinking stressed people at times. But we can look at this and say, here's a recipe from Scripture from a guy named Peter who lived from a place of like persecution and suffering, and he's still reminding people they can be blessed. He's reminding, like, even though you're going through a lot, there's blessing because this isn't ultimately our home. Here we go, verse number 8. Finally, liar, all of you, we're halfway through the letter and he's saying finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. So these are five different things, and they can sound similar, but there's five different things. And the common theme here is love. Peter talks about love a lot in his letters, and here's why. He needed love. And in particular, he talks about grace because he needed that. You know how sometimes, like, the things that you teach a lot about, or you talk a lot about, or you share with others about, like, you've got that story behind it, and you want other people to know, like, there's grace for you too. There's love for you even when you deny Jesus Christ. He did it. There's grace for you even when you let your mouth get out of control and it became painful for someone else. There's grace and there's love for you even though you chopped off the ear of a soldier in that moment, and that's what Peter had done as well. And so this authentic grace and love was something that he wanted to teach about and talk about and write about. And it's also something that was cross-cultural then and cross-cultural now, because we live in a culture where it's all about repaying evil for evil. We live in a culture where if they said that, let's revile against them. It's commonplace. We live in a culture where passive aggressivity is like an art form. And so that's how relationships just operate, but there's a different way that's being communicated here. And first and foremost, we're to love God's people. Love God's people. If you're in Christ, you're to love other people that are in Christ. And when it says finally, finally means to sum it all up. Like, if it encapsulates everything, the totality of everything that's being said here, it's about the love that we're to have for one another and for those that are in this world, but those that are also in Jesus Christ. Now, I understand this. Each and every week, not everybody that is in attendance here at Rock Harbor or watching online has an active relationship with Jesus Christ. There's many people that are like, they're just, hey, I'm coming to church. I just want to find out more, or I got invited by a friend, or I think she's cute, or whatever the thing. I heard the pastor's just like the coolest guy ever. That's never been said, but I know there are churches that does happen. But it's you might just be here, and I just want you to say, like, I want you to hear, from a scriptural standpoint, those that are in Christ, they're to have a love for one another that is beyond what human love can be. Because the love that Christ had for us in dying on the cross, raising from the dead, the sacrifice God made to send his only son for that resurrection to take place, Easter, so that we could have life, that's a love that's beyond this world. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to know that's the love that's for you. That's for you. That's not just for all the other 8 billion people in this world, or it's all the people that they've been to church their whole life, or it's all the people that haven't done anything really that bad. No, you've been set apart to be blessed. You've been set apart to be loved graciously and deeply by God. My prayer is that today might be that day that you surrender to that love and you just receive it. You can't earn it, but you receive it today. When it talks about this, have unity of mind, that's an interesting thing. It lists five things, but it starts out with having a unity of mind. You know why we need to have a unity of mind? And I have a distracted mind right now because I forgot to put my phone on Do Not Disturb, and my small group is sending dumb stuff. I'm going to kick them out of the church. And I don't even know how to do that, but I am going to find out. But have unity of mind. Having unity of mind, members of the body, people that are in Christ, all different ideas, all different thoughts, different ways, different giftings, but we're to come together, we're to work in one, we're all different, and we all differ in ideas of how certain things can be done, but here's the thing, we must agree on what needs to be done and why. What needs to be done and why? Unity is not uniformity. Unity is not robotic, yes, we love one another. No, it's fluid. It's an organism is what the body is. Unity is cooperation in the midst of diversity. Now, before you go, oh, he said the D word, he said diversity, and just start going crazy, and he's preaching a false gospel, and Keith is this, or like, stop for a second. What I mean is a differing of thoughts and ideas and opinions. I'm not saying a differing of biblical foundation. I'm not talking about the defining sin. I'm not talking about defining the gospel. I'm not defining about speaking about life and the importance of life from conception. What I'm saying here in this diversity is that everybody's different. And then in the midst of it, it's a mindset. It's a mindset of cooperation. You can actually be one-minded with one another, even though you have differing opinions. Because opinions aren't right or wrong. Opinions are not good or evil. They're subjective. They're not objective. It's an opinion. Opinions are like armpits, right? You probably got two of them, and they both stink, okay? And so you got more than two opinions, okay? You probably at least got two of them that probably stink along the line, according to someone else out there. And by the way, you can quote me on that. I should have put it in the notes, just underline armpits, stink, you know, real stinking people, you know? But think about it. We all have like these opinions about stuff, but when it comes to the gospel, and just let me speak clearly. It's been 25 years since I've one, moved here, and then secondly, stepped into ministry. Man, the arguments that are between Christians rarely is about scripture and doctrine. It happens, and it's sometimes just clarifying, and what does this mean, and what's the application of this? But mostly, it's on opinions and methods. It's on opinions and methods. What should we do about this, and why aren't we doing anything about this? And it's methods of like, oh, it should look like this, and this is the type of gathering, this is the type of music. It's like opinions and methods. And why don't we have this program, or why aren't we doing this? And if you really loved God, then you would do this, and it should be look like this. It's just opinions and methods. It's rarely like, what did Jesus do or not do? What did Jesus say or not say? It's rarely about that. So we got to be careful with this relationship with one another and have unity with one another, because think about, like, if you were in history class or you've watched a movie that involved history, what you see when a nation or an army is engaged in a battle here, if another nation or another army unconnected decides, I wonder when would be a good time to fight them, it's generally when they're engaged with someone else, because they can't give their full focus to that battle. And that's what takes place with followers of Jesus that are going to engage in this ground war when there's a greater war. They're engaged in a ground war when there is a heavenly war. There is a spiritual war that is going on, and the attention is on the other person because they're tangible, they're in front of you. And if Satan can work in and get those that are on the same team to focus on this battle, they'll know, he knows, there's a greater war that's not being watched. There's a greater war that's not being, but you align those two people and say, hey, let's unify. We may have differing opinions, but when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to eternity, when it comes to what does it look like to really live blessed, when it comes to what it looks like to really disciple and grow and give sacrificially and serve one another, man, watch out, world. Watch out, hell, because heaven's coming for you. And there's unity in that. But it takes work to step away from it. Second, it says sympathy. This word sympathy is evidence in the love of Christ. It's a sincere feeling for and with the needs of other people. It's hard to be sympathetic when we've got a pretty messed up world around us. And we're constantly bombarded with bad news. So what happens? We get callous to it. You hear one more need or one more situation and you just don't respond like you once did. So what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to make a difference. We're supposed to do something, because sympathy and true compassion, it's not just seeing a need and feeling bad, it's doing something about it. It's taking a step. It's taking action. It's engaging with one another. See, if you just surround yourself with people that have their stuff together, because the people that don't, they're just a lot of work. It's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of energy. And then what if it costs resources and money? And they should know by now. I mean, bless their heart. They got themselves in that situation again. we're so self-indulged. See, if we keep those that are in need away, keep them at a distance, we don't have to deal with their problem. And we can go about our business and we can be, man, I just really want to focus on God. And some of you, you want like a small group and you want your circle of friends and you want everybody to have their things together. You don't want those people that require extra grace. You don't want those people that they take time and they need more prayer than you need. And we get self-indulged. But if you keep them at a distance, you don't worry about it. That's not love. That's not brotherly love that's talked about. That's self-indulgence. We should try others' indulgence for once. Not the easy road, not the wide road that leads to destruction. No, the narrow road that you're going to rub against each other, and it's not always easy, but it's right, and it's love, and it represents Christ. What if Jesus Christ expected you to have your stuff together? So he kind of pushed you aside until you got good enough. And we'd be earning a salvation. That's not scripture. No, our wages of sin was death. You were death. I was death. And he came with life. Your best was like filthy rags. It was like dung. It doesn't say that in scripture per se, but I wanted to say dung. Man, God said, my son's for you. My grace is for you. My love is for you. Next, brotherly love. Brotherly love, this is the fact that we're all siblings in the same family. So you got three, I got three siblings, I got a sister, and I got two brothers, and I'm the oldest, which means I got to practice the WWF moves that I learned on Monday Night Raw on my siblings. And, you know, I was the first one to superfly Jimmy Snuka them. The ultimate warrior above the head just went boom, spleen right in the back of the couch, you know. I got to do that. And that's what love does. And I always loved them, but I didn't always like them. But if anybody else tried to come after my brothers, you better believe, like, we're going to superfly Jimmy Snuka. We're going to hacksaw Jim Duggan on them. We're ready to go. Because they're my brothers, I'm always going to have their back. I may beat them privately at home when mom and dad are not there. But if we're in public, if we're playing dunk ball at Jenny Wilson, I was doing layups on eight-foot rims, if you didn't know what I just did. Okay, what was I talking about? I lost myself in the crossover, you know? Like, I'm going to defend them because I love them. That's a brotherly love. Like, we understand who we're really at battle with. We understand the world and the war that's taking place, and we're going to battle for one another. I want to stop for just a second because here's what happens. I'm going through a list of things. I'm illustrating a list of things, and I just want to talk about application really quick. What if every single one of us watching online or in person, one relationship in our life changed? We're going to get to tenderhearted. What if we become more tenderhearted towards this person today? What if we're more sympathetic towards someone? What if we have a different attention towards having a unity of mind when that person posts something politically that you don't agree with, but you're going, hey, we're on the same team. I need to remember this. I didn't say you don't have to, you can, I didn't say don't snooze on them for 30 days during the elections. I didn't say that. But you're going to have unity. Pursue brotherly love. Humble-minded. What if there's one relationship that shifted because of today? Because we let God's word convict us and we did something about it. What if one person's need was met because all of a sudden a brother or sister in Christ decided to be humble and sympathetic and meet a need for one person? We can do this. A tender heart to have that tenderness of heart. Please don't let your heart get hard. There's so many warnings of Scripture of letting a heart get hard towards the things of God. And in the Roman Empire, where Peter is writing this letter to these exiles, it was not like normal in Roman culture to have a tenderness of heart. But Christians came in and they changed the world because Christ Jesus took over the hearts and lives of people to a place that hated even the understanding of being submitted to any other ruling authority, much less someone ruling your heart, shifted drastically because people had a tender heart. Humble-minded, some translations say to be courteous. It's more than acting like a lady or acting like a gentleman. No, this is like, it's greater than that, humility. I wished I had like a top 10 list of like manners, you know? Manners. Manners are things people forget about. I mean, and I'm not just talking about, well, I wish those kids would pick up their trash. I wish they would get the door for something. Like, I'm talking about the amount of obliviousness that all of us have all the time because we're on a phone, we're on an AirPod, we're listening to something, we're driving and talking and thinking about other things. We don't think about other people. All Pro Dad, which is an amazing website for dads, grandpas. You want to disciple your kids. You want to take a one-week challenge. You want to take a month challenge, a year challenge, a day challenge. Like, it's a great resource. And it's a lot of professional athletes that write for it. You've got Kirk Cousins. You've got Benjamin Watson. Tony Dungy is one of the greatest contributors. A lot of great athletes. Keith Harrington. Let's do number one. Point one, put others first. Put others first. This might be the only point we actually really need to make is just put others first. Polite phone protocol. This could be an entire blog post, right? It could be an entire series in church. But turn your phones off at meals and conversations. Give 100% of attention to whom you are physically with in person. Number three, write thank you notes. That's novel. Write a thank you note. Or have ChatGPT write you one, but do it. Number four, open doors for other people. Contrary to a popular myth, this is not a chauvinistic practice. It's called being kind. Open the doors for others, right? Use thank you, you're welcome routinely in conversation. Shake hands, make eye contact. Teach others to offer and serve people who enter your home. Oh my goodness, would you like a glass of water? When they go to leave, walk them to the door. One time, one of my kids chose not to walk someone to the door, and I asked that person to break up with my kid. You need to dump them. What is more important than securing your safety as you walk out to your 1984 Civic? Walk them to the door. Bless your heart. Stand up when an elder enters the room. Be polite to people who serve. That means thanking the bus driver, thanking people who serve in our military. Practice manners at family mealtimes. See, manners are simply just putting other people first. That's it. Humility, that's what it is. What it means is thinking of yourself less, thinking of others more, and thinking of Christ most. That's what it is. Thinking of yourself less, that's humility. Thinking of others more and thinking of Christ the most of all. That's humility. I love the last couple of weeks as Luke and Paul have been preaching, not the apostle Paul or the disciple Luke, but two dudes that work here. But they're talking about like submission, that submission to civil authority. Where's that line? Like we're supposed to prioritize like God's law. But then how does that land with, do I have to obey my HOA? Do I have to, leave the HOA. Then go out in the county. Well, you have to obey the county. You can't just burn every single day. There's burn bans at times. Well, I own this land. Well, there's the state of Idaho. Well, I'm leaving Idaho. Congratulations. See ya. Submission to the workplace. That's important. Submission in our marriage. submitting to our wife, submitting to our husband. No one's born with this natural humility. It's something we have to work at. And to be clear, within this, arrogance and pride are two different things. But they're also, like, they sound so similar, but they're seen differently. And you know why? Because arrogance is seen. Pride, somebody can be really prideful, but they don't behave arrogantly. But they have pride in their heart. You can be quiet or introverted or not loud, but yet be very prideful. Often we can see arrogance, but pride's the root of all evil. And every one of us, pride is the root of all sin. Pride is the root of all sin, and every one of us have sinned. Every one of us has pride. Next, love your enemies, okay? We're supposed to love our brothers, love our sisters, love one another, but also love your enemies. Do not repay evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Okay, this is important because Peter is warning them, you're being persecuted, but it's about to ratchet up. This is also me warning you. There might be a little bit of persecution. If you're a follower of Jesus, there might be a little persecution right now, but I'm going to warn you, it's going to ratchet up this year. It's ratcheting up this year. It's an election year. It will ratchet up. The importance of you truly loving brothers and sisters, you truly choosing to not revile when you're reviled against, it's going to be a tough year. Are you prepared? Is your heart prepared? Do you know Scripture? Are you ready to give an answer for what you believe? Are you ready to vote for things in which represent that of Scripture? It's going to be a tough year. Be warned. Persecution will come if you're in Christ Jesus. See, there's a warning that's given here. Do not repay evil for evil. See, Warren Wiersbe, who's a theologian, written a ton of books. I've read a lot, almost every bit of his writings. He basically says there's three different levels that we can live on as Christians, as followers of Jesus. There's three different levels, okay, that we can respond. So like when someone does something to you, you're going to repay them with what? The first level is you're going to repay evil with good. That's a satanic level. Someone does good, but you repay evil because you're just so, because they've done evil in the past, so you're getting them back. That's at a satanic level. If you want to repay someone good for good and evil for evil, guess what? That's on a human level. Good for good. Hey, they did something good. I'm going to do something good for them. They did something evil. I'm going to do something evil for them. That's a human level. But man, you want to go to a different level and repay good for evil, because people don't repay good for evil. Man does not repay good for evil. But God does, and God's love does. That's a divine level. Most of us, we stay at a human level. Good for good, evil for evil. But to repay good even when evil is done? Last chapter we studied, verse 23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. No, he gave all. That's what we're supposed to do, give all. And it says to bless. For to this you were called. You got to remember your calling. Your calling, you're set apart. This is not your home. You're temporarily here. There's an eternity that awaits for you with Jesus Christ if you're in him. So you've got to remember, like, I've got to live above this. I have a calling. It says we're going to obtain or inherit a blessing. Well, I want a blessing. Well, what's worthy of being blessed? I want to live a blessing. Well, we studied the Beatitudes last fall. Matthew 5:10, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You may be reviled against, but can you bring a blessing? You may be mocked. You may be persecuted. You may be commented on in your post. But can you return a blessing? Because in doing so, you're representing Christ. Love your enemies. Lastly, love your life. Whoa, Keith, you're getting all prosperity. Love your life. Well, verse 10 and 11 says, whoever desires to love his life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. You know what that is? That's saying, like, what would be a bad day for the world can be a good day for the kingdom. Like, what defines a bad day? A bad day is when this happens, if you're mocked, if you're persecuted, if somebody doesn't agree with you, if people don't laugh at you, if people deny your invitation for something, if they didn't like your status. I mean, you could run the data if you'd like to. You post something that everyone's going to like, just stack them up and count them. Post something about Jesus, look at the data. Less likes because you share what you love. But we look at this and go, you know what? A good day following Christ, it might look like a bad day for the world because persecution doesn't seem easy. Doesn't seem like it could ever result in anything that's good. Here it says we need to choose life. Choose it. Even if it's difficult, just like Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 2:17, I hated my life for all his vanity and vexation of the spirit. He was in a depressed, discouraged place, but then he flipped and said, should I endure it or should I enjoy it? To enjoy even in hard times and suffering, because we know who's in control. God is in control. I'm not saying take, like Peter's taking some unrealistic approach. No, it's just turning the tables and saying, you know what? We can take a positive approach on this. You know why? Because God's ultimately in control of everything. Choose to control our tongues, I see here. Keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. I want to, you know, do a little bit of a vote, okay? This week, it was either me or my wife, Chrisanna, that said something to the other person that they shouldn't have. Do you think she or me, who is known for being loud, for being obnoxious, for saying things they shouldn't say, for being cutting and sarcastic. Raise your hand if you think it's Chrisanna. One camera guy. Bro, she'll be at the next service. You might want to get out of here. How many of you think it's me? Yeah, it's me. I had to apologize. Bless my heart. Bless my heart. But I had to apologize for what I said. I had to apologize for what I did. I didn't control my tongue. Psalm 41, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. God, guard our tongues, guard our mouth. I want to live blessed. Well, don't let your tongue be loose. I want to live blessed. Let your tongue be for praise. Let your tongue be for prayer. Let your tongue be for edification and encouragement. Don't let it be for hurt to inflict on a sister in Christ. I mean, yeah, she's my wife, but she's God's daughter. I didn't treat her as such. We must choose to do good and hate evil. Lastly, we must choose to pursue peace. If you seek peace, you're going to find it. If you pursue trouble, you're going to find it. Luke's message a couple weeks ago, he didn't say, you know what, seek peace at any price. No, the definition for peace, and it can be found in, is righteousness. Righteousness must always be the basis for peace. Am I right before the Lord? Not justified in our sin. Not, I'm standing up for God. Are you representing the character of Jesus Christ? See, you might be seeking peace, but what if the world is seeking war? Romans 12:18. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Live peaceably with all. These last two verses I want to share, this is Peter bringing an assurance to you and I that God sees you and God hears you. Some of you here today, you may be going, I don't know that he sees me. I don't know that he hears me. If he did, he would answer my prayer. I struggle. Like, why am I not seeing his hand involved in my life? Am I invisible? Why do they get blessed? What is their kid? Like, after all that kid has done, why is he blessed? And then your kid is hurt in it and you get defensive. Why did they get the bid when they're lying and it's going to come in above project and I'm trying to do things right and be honest with people and I'm not being blessed? Like, why am I not being blessed? Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. But in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord, as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that's in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. See, persecution's gonna come and you're gonna wanna give up. Let me tell you, don't give up, armor up. Be ready to give a defense. It's gonna be a tough year. Be ready to give a defense. Armor up. Don't give up. Armor up. The martyrs that came before us, martyrs in the history of the church. This fall, I'm doing a series called Truth Wars. Getting to the core of Scripture about the things that we as followers of Jesus, Bible-believing followers of Jesus in a biblical worldview, like what is worth fighting for with your very life? Are you prepared for that battle? You may feel he doesn't hear your prayer, but it says his ear is attuned to those who are righteous, and his eyes are looking to seek those who are blameless. Listen to 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. For you have done foolishly in this. From now on, you will have wars. The eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro. Are you living right? You may not feel that he hears you, but I want you to know, if you're righteous, his ear is attuned to you. He wants to answer your prayer. You can go boldly before his throne of grace. He may say, wait. He may say, yes. He may say, no. He may say, bless your heart. I don't know everything, but I do know this. I know for a fact, his ear is towards those who are blameless. His ear is towards those who are righteous. His eyes are looking to and fro. You may not feel seen. You may feel overlooked. You may be wondering, why is it them and why is it not me? And what do I do and how do I bring honor and glory? Be righteous. You want to live a blessed life? Don't live a cursed life. You want wars? Chase after the things of the world. You want him, it says, for him to turn his eyes from you? Chase after the curses of this world, the promises, but result in a curse. Don't be sympathetic. Harden your heart. Be arrogant. Don't be humble. Man, fight for yourself. Keep needy people at a distance. Oh, but you want to be righteous. Just say, there's room in the kingdom. There's room in my relationships. There's room in God's love for you. God's eyes are looking to and fro throughout the earth. And his eyes are looking, what if his eyes are, they're looking down on this church body. They're looking down and he's seeing servants and he's seeing ministry teams and he's seeing families that are devoting to him. Families that are saying, no, it's him first. It's his word above all other things. And for me, what if he sees me? Not me just the pastor, but me the dad and me the husband and me the gatekeeper of my home and me the one that can set a course that he's given me the authority to in my house and in relationships and with my kids. And not just because I'm a dad and my husband, but I'm a child of the king and he's saying, I see you, I hear you, you're blameless, you're righteous. That's a blessed life. That's living blessed. Let that be our aim. Let it be our aim. God, I pray your clearest of blessing, direction, vision, hope, life. I pray that we do not repay evil for evil. I pray right now in this moment for salvation, for surrender in a heart. I pray that there are believers in this room that would rise over a battle with another believer and recognize there's a spiritual war that is going on. The unity of mind and the brotherly love that you promise, I pray we chase it chase it with all of our hearts. And I ask this in your name. Amen.
Well, hey, we believe in next steps and we'd love to help you take yours. So over the last few minutes, maybe you felt the Lord has called you to something new, whether that's prayer, a conversation, or meeting a need specifically. We'd encourage you to DM us on a social media channel or email us at info@rockharbor.tv. Thanks for being here.